Hey there, folks. Welcome to Rock and Rally Tennis, where it's all tennis, all the time. I'm James Lynn. Follow us on Twitter at Rock and Rally. That's Rock underscore and underscore Rally. And on Facebook at facebook.com/Rock and Rally Tennis. Rock and Rally Tennis podcast episode number 154 is brought to you by CareerWonder.com, the ultimate career resource site featuring video interviews of professionals from a wide array of industries, sharing the stories, journeys, and insights about their careers and jobs at CareerWonder.com. Well, welcome to another segment of Match Points, where we answer questions from our listeners. This is Match Points segment number 18. If you'd like to send us a question, you can email us at askme@rockandrallytennis.com or message us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/rockandrallytennis or tweet us at rockandrally. That's rock underscore and underscore rally. Well, let's get started. Tommy from Covina, California writes, "What do you think of Federer's chances on clay in the coming weeks?" Hey, Tommy, thanks for your question. You know, by now, everyone knows that Federer announced a few weeks ago that he'd play on clay this year after skipping the clay court season in each of the past 2 years. Federer said it's for his basic love of the game, which, of course, is totally understandable. The other source of motivation from a practical standpoint is the ranking points he will earn from playing in Madrid and Paris next month. Remember that Federer has no points to defend, thus the points earned will help keep his tournament seedings high throughout the rest of the year. But look, whatever his reasons are for returning to the clay after a two-year absence, for me, it'll be great just to see Federer back on clay. That will be satisfying enough. You know, I have no lofty expectations of Federer on clay at this point. While Federer has won 11 titles on clay, including the 2009 French Open, and at one point was arguably the best player on clay not named Nadal, the reality is there are probably a lot of players now who can beat Federer on clay at this stage of his career. Federer is 37 years old and has not played in a clay court tournament since 2016. So regardless of how he fares, look, I'm just going to enjoy it and appreciate what he brings to the sport every tournament, every match. Thanks for your question, Tommy. Kayla from Mississauga, Canada wants to know, are Bianca Andreescu and Felix Auger-Aliassime the next future superstars on their respective tours? Hey, Kayla, thanks for your question. Now, both of these 18-year-olds from Canada have gotten off to great starts in 2019. Andreescu started off her year by reaching the final of the Auckland International in January and then won BNP Paribas at Indian Wells last month. Andreescu was ranked outside of the WTA Top 100 at the beginning of the year. She is now inside the Top 25. Auger-Aliassime reached the final in Rio in February and then the semifinals in Miami. He started the year ranked outside of the top 100 on the ATP and is now inside the top 35. Look, the future certainly looks bright for Andreescu and Auger-Aliassime. That said, I believe it would be prudent for everyone to take a step back and not overhype and simply allow these young players to continue to develop and round out their games. Look, it's always exciting to see a crop of new players break onto the scene like this, but it's important to keep in mind that they are in fact still teenagers. Teenagers who are often competing against older, more experienced, world-class competitors. For Andreescu and Auger-Aliassime, it comes down to staying healthy, of course, and also how effectively they can make improvements and adjustments to their own games versus those of their competitors. And it's with absolute certainty that their competitors will do their homework and adjust their strategies and tactics when they play against them moving forward. Thanks for your question, Kayla. Peter from Anaheim, California writes, "What's happening with Denis Shapovalov and Aryna Sabalenka? They seem to have flattened out recently." Thanks for your question, Peter. Look, I'll answer the question this way. Shapovalov and Sabalenka are good examples of what I was actually just referring to in my response to the previous question regarding Andreescu and Auger-Aliassime, specifically how competitors will do their homework and make their adjustments. Shapovalov, who turned 20 years old just this week, made his big splash about 18 months ago at the 2017 Canadian Open, where he beat Del Potro and Nadal en route to reaching the semifinals. He continued to show improvement in 2018, but 2018 was largely an up-and-down year for him. Shapovalov did reach the semifinals at Delray Beach and Madrid in 2018, but he also suffered a lot of early-round defeats throughout the year. The fact is, competitors have done their homework on Shapovalov and have made some tactical adjustments, one of which is to plug away at his backhand in key moments during the match, because that's the wing that seems to be a bit more vulnerable at this point. Sabalenka, currently ranked number 10 in the world, is also just 20 years old. On the strength of her brutalizing baseline game, Sabalenka had her breakthrough moment on the WTA last summer, winning her first WTA title at the Connecticut Open. She has won a couple more titles since then, the last one coming earlier this year in January at the Shenzhen Open. Since then, Sabalenka's competitors seem to have made an adjustment when playing against her. That tactic appears to be to get a few more balls back into play and also make her hit a little bit more on the run to induce her to go for too much too soon. Of course, it's a lot easier said than done, particularly against a player like Sabalenka, whose jaw-dropping firepower enables her to take control of most rallies. But the tactic seems to have been effective so far this year. Sabalenka has suffered a lot of early round losses at Sydney, the Australian Open, St. Petersburg, Dubai, Miami, and most recently at the Volvo Car Open in Charleston. In almost all of these losses, her opponents were able to get that additional ball or two back into play and stretch her just a bit, often inducing a lot of errors from Sabalenka, who already plays a high-risk, high-reward type of game to begin with. Like Andreescu and Ajay Aliassim, both Shapovalov and Sabalenka are immensely talented. They are blessed with exceptional athleticism and physical tools. But as we are all aware, it's a lot more than just physical tools to get to that upper echelon. For Shapovalov, I believe his lopsided loss to Federer last month in the semifinals in Miami will greatly benefit him, as it will prove to be a very valuable measuring stick and motivator for him moving forward, especially when it comes to those facets of his game that need improvement. For Sabalenka, I would love to see her make full use of all of her incredible tools, specifically hitting more groundies with heavy topspin for greater margin and action, especially on the clay courts. Sabalenka is one of the few women who can hit shots with dominating heavy top just as naturally and easily as the fast flat ones. For her, it really comes down to playing with controlled aggression, controlling rallies with her big ground strokes, and then picking the ideal moments to go for the big shot. You know, the bottom line, Shapovalov and Sabalenka, they'll be just fine. But let's keep in mind, look, they have already made tremendous progress and they're only 20 years old. Thanks for your question, Peter. Folks, as always, it's great to hear from you. Thanks for your questions. Keep them coming. As a reminder, if you'd like to send us a question, you can email us at askme@rockandrallytennis.com or email us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/rockandrallytennis or tweet us at @rockandrally. That's @rock_and_rally. Well, that's all for this episode, folks. Thanks for joining us at Rock and Rally Tennis. Please subscribe to our podcast at rockandrallytennis.com. I'm James Lynn. See you next time.